Welcome to The Brainstorm, a podcast and video series from ARK Invest. Tune in every week as we react to the latest in innovation and reflect on how short-term news impacts our long-term views. To learn more, visit ARK-invest.com.
ARK Investment Management, LLC is an SEC-registered investment advisor. ARK and Public are unaffiliated entities and do not have a relationship with respect to either firm marketing or selling the products or services of the other, and therefore ARK disclaims responsibility for any loss that may be incurred by Public's clients or customers. The information provided in this show is for informational purposes only and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision and is subject to change without notice. It does not constitute either explicitly or implicitly any provision of services or products by ARK. An investor should determine for themselves whether a particular investment management service is suitable for their investment needs. All statements made regarding companies or securities are strictly beliefs and points of view held by ARK and/or show guests and are not endorsements by ARK of any company or security or recommendations by ARK to buy, sell, or hold any security. Historical results are not indications of future results. Certain of the statements contained in the show may be statements of future expectations and other forward-looking statements that are based on ARK's current views and assumptions and involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results, performance, or events to differ materially from those expressed or implied in such statements. ARK assumes no obligation to update any forward-looking information. ARK and its clients, as well as its related persons, may, but do not necessarily, have financial interests in securities or issuers that are discussed. Certain information was obtained from sources that ARK believes to be reliable. However, ARK does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of any information obtained from any third party.
Welcome to episode 69 of The Brainstorm. Today, we're talking Tether and tokenizing the world, and then Blue Sky X and Threads, really all seeing pretty strong momentum post-election. Let's start with the tokenization with Lorenzo. Lorenzo, is this just blast from the past? I feel like there was early, there's almost, I want to say like the 2017 bubble with smart contracts and everyone talking about, you know, oh, you could do real estate like this. You can put everything on the blockchain. You know, 20 different people could own a piece of this house and collectively somehow manage it. Well, I guess we'll just start with the basic. What did Tether announce? And then is it important? What's your take on it?
Yeah, so Tether is the biggest stablecoin issuer, issuing the Tether stablecoin mainly on Tron and Ethereum. And they just announced the launch of Hadron, which is an RWA tokenization platform. So RWA stands for real world assets. So it's basically, you know, products and a platform that allow off-chain assets such as, you know, bonds, stocks, or commodities to be able to be tokenized and traded on a blockchain. So that's what they announced this past week.
And is it a big deal? Is it not a big deal?
Yeah, I think it's a big deal, Sam, because you're right. Like, we've had attempts with the tokenization of RWA in the past, which, you know, haven't been really successful. I think number one, we've had a huge growth of stablecoins in general by Tether and Circle. Number two is, I think, with the new regulatory environment. In the past, like, tokenizations of, you know, products like bonds or stocks were simply not possible. There were a few companies, I think, backed finance from Switzerland, but very, very niche and, you know, not very liquid. And yeah, you know, with, I think the new regulatory environment, there's definitely going to be more possibilities. And I think just the know-how, you know, of Tether in general with issuing, minting, redeeming, and just managing, you know, tokenization of RWAs. They're definitely, you know, the right player, I think, to launch a platform like this. So yeah, I'm very, very excited. And I think, you know, it's one of the verticals in crypto that hasn't grown a lot and where I think, you know, there's huge margin in terms of the TAM of RWA in general. Yeah, I think it could definitely push the industry forward significantly, I think, in the coming years.
What is the promise, just for maybe listeners that aren't totally familiar with why you would want to tokenize a real world asset. What exactly is the promise and the pitch?
Yeah, for this listener.
Yeah, so why would you want to do this? I think the big advantages of blockchain is the TAM is much bigger. So a lot of countries and regions that do not have access to, you know, dollar denominated products and currencies can get access to this. So you can buy, you know, a tokenized basket of commodities, for example. You wouldn't be able to do this like in Southeast Asia or many parts of the world. That's number one. But even I think for people that have access to these products, being able, you know, the composability of blockchains and just the verifiable nature, being able to use that as collateral in other products and other platforms and being able to utilize that in more efficient manners, I think that is the real promise, I would say. And just like efficiency in terms of minting, redeeming, and transferring these assets on the blockchain.
So then maybe a question that I have, because so it seems like broadly crypto is certainly gaining momentum. I think that's evident just in the political dialogue we're hearing. You can see it in the prices as things are picking up momentum. But then it seems like there's two trends underneath of that. And I'll just tell you what I'm hearing. And I wonder if in this crypto community, they're closing the circle here, but there's the, okay, Bitcoin strategic reserve side of things and people saying, oh, this is terrible, right? Why would the US want to threaten the US dollar? Or Bitcoin is the hedge against the US dollar. And if it gains traction, then that's a threat. And at the same time, you have huge adoption of stable coins that are backed by the US dollar. And so actually, in fact, you're getting more dollarization of the global economy than would otherwise be the case. And right, it sounds like this would be a path to further that. Are those two camps talking? Are they, what's kind of the overall
sense? Yeah, I mean, I definitely think like stable coins obviously have, you know, exported the dollar to a lot of emerging markets. And we've seen, you know, Tether and Circle being, I think, the 14th largest buyers of US debt, you know, if you count them as a country. So yeah, I definitely think platforms such as Hadron, I mean, all of these, you know, if it's commodities, bonds or stock, they're going to be denominated in dollar terms. And that I think is pretty obvious. So I think overall that is, that is very good for the US dollar and its dominance, I would say, as a currency.
What are you excited to be tokenized? It's like in your mind, what are you like, wow, this would be perfect.
Yeah, I think what I'm really excited about that is, I think if you see crypto right now, the last years until now, a lot of the TVL and a lot of the metrics that we use, so total value locked, and a lot of the revenue from, you know, the biggest protocols is very endogenous and very linear with the price of Ether and Bitcoin, right? Like if you think about it, like Uniswap makes a lot of revenue when there's a lot of trading activity and usually when Ether goes up. Aave is a money market where you basically collateralize with Ether and you take out stable coins. Everything is very endogenous to the price of crypto. And I think if you know, if we want to grow and you want to see a growth of 10x, 20x in blockchains in general, you'll need like some exogenous assets, you know, and to grow this to, you know, 5, 10, 15 trillion. And so, you know, the logical step is bonds and stocks and other, you know, RWA products. But I'm definitely excited because I don't see it impossible in 2 or 3 years where the most valuable layer one or smart contract ledgers are going to be the ones that have the most total value locked of RWAs, for example. Like I see that as a very probable path. And so, very excited.
Gotcha. Amazing. Nick, is this something that Robinhood has talked about, or what are they doing anything with this, or their 24/7 trading and that stuff is totally unrelated?
I believe it's unrelated. I'm not sure if Lorenzo, you know more, but we're seeing definitely increased activity from all of the exchanges. Robinhood just put a few coins back on its trading platform. Haven't heard anything about tokenization specifically, but my guess is you'll see exchanges, Coinbase, Robinhood, Kraken get a bit more aggressive now that regulation seems to be more pro crypto, whereas it was not or has not been in the past few years. So, I would expect them to be in the conversations going forward if this is something that takes off, because it does fit squarely into the business of offering an exchange.
Yeah, I
Great.
agree.
Great. Amazing. Lorenzo, thank you for jumping on and explaining it to us.
Thank you,
Thanks, guys.
Lorenzo. All
All right, Nick. X, Blue Sky, Threads. What's happening?
sure.
And you've tested them out. Everyone knows if they're listening, you're a Threads guy.
I
Nick's a Threads guy.
am
Nick's a
a
Threads guy.
observer, and I use the data to inform my opinion. So,
All right, so then
no, I'm
give us the
yeah.
data. Give us the
So
data.
it's been an interesting few weeks, especially for these real-time text-first social platforms. You have seen Elon and Linda, who's the CEO of X, come out and speak about their user engagements around election night being at a peak. So they're talking about their engagement being at record levels. But then you also saw some third-party data sites show that after the election night, there was a slew of users who deactivated X. And then at the same time, what happened was Blue Sky and Threads saw bumps in engagement and user signups. So it's an interesting time here because I think politics has influenced a lot of this. But I think one thing is very clear. These are very powerful news sources for a huge portion of the population. I think X demonstrated that over the past few months. And now I think you'll see capitalization across the board from Threads and Blue Sky. Blue Sky, if people aren't familiar, because it's probably a lesser known platform, it was actually started in 2019 by none other than Jack Dorsey. If you know that name, it's because he is currently the CEO of Block, but he was also the founder of Twitter. Blue Sky came out of the idea to decentralize the Twitter platform. So having the ability, or the way that I think of it, is not having a company behind the platform itself so that information can be freely distributed and accessed. And there's no throat to choke, so to speak, when it comes to the Blue Sky platform. I don't fully understand or have not fully dug into where they are in terms of that journey, but there is momentum on the platform. They were the number one free app in the App Store over the weekend. I'm not sure where they are right now as at the time of this recording. Right behind them was Threads, third is ChatGPT, and I believe X was somewhere in the 30s. So, the signups for those two sites are, picking up. I think the Threads team talked about they had around 15 million signups in November alone. They're seeing well over a million signups a day. If you look at their numbers, it's just staggering. They're currently at 275 million monthly actives, and that was as of the last quarterly call. So they're probably closer to 300 million. They were at around 200 million in August, so 50% growth in just a few months. Or if you look at it on a year-over-year basis, they're up around 175% from around 100 million. So a pretty incredible meteoric rise from the platform. I know we've talked about this before, Sam. I get a lot of hate for liking Threads and thinking that it has a place in the conversation at all, but I think, they are demonstrating value and working through their ability to distribute it to their Instagram user base, they're now beginning to put together the pieces they need to make the platform a bit more sticky for users.
Well, Nick, one of the things you said that I thought was interesting is you said, you know, it could develop, right? You've got CNN, MSNBC, Fox losing some cachet and followers and reach and, you know, influence. And so you could see kind of this emergence of these separate platforms that are tiered towards different things, you know, potential federated posts that are populating from Threads to Blue Sky and vice versa. And then I will give you, right, Nick, you were quick and correct in calling Clubhouse as a fad, but you don't think that this is a post-election bump and then fizzles and consolidates. You think all three have legs, the two have legs. What's your outlook here?
Yeah, there's a few things in the question I want to address. First, on the federated approach, because I do think that's an interesting part of this story. So there is an idea, a concept called the Fediverse. The Fediverse is a series of interconnected, you can think of data centers that when connected to the end distribution point or the social media platform, a user from one site would be able to see the content posted from another as long as they're a part of the so-called Fediverse or they have federated their platform. And so when Threads was originally created, I think it really sparked interest around this concept and idea. I don't know exactly where they are in the journey. I don't believe the content is fully federated yet, but there are three platforms that I think are worth mentioning here. One, obviously Threads, 275 to probably closer to 300 million users. Blue Sky, which is at around 20 million monthly actives. And there's another platform out there called Mastodon. Those three are all in time, or in time, all three of these platforms will be federated. So in theory, when I post something on Threads, you'll be able to see it on Blue Sky if you have, you know, this feature turned on, and vice versa. So, you know, in terms of does Threads have legs and Blue Sky doesn't, it's kind of hard to make that distinction if the content is being distributed to both platforms. At that point, it's just, you know, your portal into this world. Right. So that, you know, I think an interesting concept in and of itself, and probably goes, and the reason Meta went after that was probably because they understand the increasing regulation around content moderation. And, you know, I think if you're opening up so-called content to other platforms, there's less of a likelihood that, you know, you'd be in jeopardy of being called a monopoly in the social media space. That's my guess why they went after and wanted to take this approach. In terms of just the competition as a whole, do I think this is a fad? No. I mean, real-time information is, you know, very, very, very valuable. And I think these platforms are all going after that market in very similar ways and in very different ways. But I do think, you know, one thing that you're seeing, and again, all of this activity might be at the margin and, you know, everything might revert back to normal. But you are seeing users opt in to a preferred site because they're probably not being in, you know, shown content on that particular site that they don't want to see. I think one thing all platforms in the social media space have to be really careful is balancing, you know, the type of content that is both highly engaging and then, you know, very specific to the user. So you have to, you know, balance what these users are seeing when it comes to politics. You know, people generally don't want to hear that their opinions and beliefs are wrong over and over and over again, especially on social media sites. So my guess is you're seeing people opt out of these platforms so that, you know, they don't have to keep hearing that.
All right, Nick, then maybe to round this out, you've said in the past, I propped you up, gave you credit for some things. Now I gotta
take me down.
Now I gotta the other side of it. You've said, quote, writing is dead. The universal Groose theory of social media is that writing and reading is too high effort. So where does that leave us with this recent uptick and the potential importance of text first social media for news?
Yeah, I think longer term, and it's actually the opposite. Writing and reading are very low effort in terms of the amount of energy you have to put in to send out a tweet is significantly lower than the amount of energy you'd have to put in to create a photo plus a story around that photo. Or you can think of more probably appropriate comparison is video, right? To take a video, to edit it, to put it out there, very, you know, energy intensive in that manner. So that's why I think writing and text makes perfect sense for real-time communication, because it's the fastest method of delivery. But my whole point is, what happens when it's just as easy to create video as it is to send a three-word text? And what if that video, because it's more immersive, is able to deliver much more information, but you can create it in the same amount of time with that you could create text? And that's where I think we're not there yet. But if we haven't even mentioned generative AI this episode, which is, we probably just, stop some
we
sort of
to diversify.
Record.
We wanted to diversify.
Imagine you do have this world where generative AI is able to create extremely engaging video in nearly real time based on, information it's seeing. Wouldn't you much rather watch a video and learn through that than to read? Most people typically, is how a lot of the population is getting information, and always has been with television. So I think it's a balance of, you have to understand what it takes to create. And if that barrier to entry continues to fall from more immersive type of content, then I think that more immersive type of content begins to be part of the conversation when it comes to spreading real-time information.
All right. There you have it.
So it's not dead yet.
Not dead yet. Just merely
one point to preface. These sites, in theory, you see video and you see text and you see photos. So it's more the real-time nature and use case of them. That is why they're still very much be a part of the conversation in 5 years if video continues to have its run.
Right. And we don't need to go down the AI. We'll go down the AI rabbit hole, real-time, Grok, models, all that stuff. There's a unique take there, but definitely something to watch. Real world assets being tokenized, dollarization through stable coins. That's right. And the emergence of some of these other competitors, 2X, while X is also seemingly thriving. Seems like really it's just a change in share from more traditional media paths to more real time user generated, which I'll give you credit there. You've always been pro user generated. So we'll end on a high note for Nick.
See, all right, Sam, so many compliments this week.
See, that's right. The ask is coming. See everyone next week.
See everyone.